أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today, the 14th day of September 2020, which coincides with the 26th day of Muharram 1442 AH, inshallah, we are going to be proceeding with our lessons on the book of Akhdari, inshallah. Wherein we stopped the last time on the Sunnah aspect of As-Salah. So now, inshallah, we're going to be proceeding into the virtuous aspects of As-Salah, which are the Fadail. However, before we go on, I would like to inform us all that the reason why Salah activities in Salat are segregated into Sunnah aspect, Fadail aspect, compulsory aspect, does not mean that you have the right to just choose which one to do and which one not to do at any point in time. Like, for instance, now sitting after the second rak'ah for Salatul Zuhur is Sunnah. But that does not mean that since it's voluntary, you can deliberately choose not to do it. It's not so. The reason for the segregation usually has more to do with how to correct the Salat. Some things or some parts of the prayer cannot be corrected except they must be redone again by sujudu sahwi. Some other parts, it suffices to just do sujudu sahwi as a correction. Some parts, you don't have to correct them. So that's the reason why you have this segregation. Some parts that you have to correct using only sujudu sahwi is the sunnah aspect. Some other aspects, kuma, you cannot correct them at all using sujudu sahwi alone. So those are the compulsory aspect. Then there are some parts that you don't have to correct at all, which are the fadail aspect. But still, that does not give you the leverage to just pick up anything you want and leave any other thing. As far as it has been described as the way the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam used to pray, then it is necessary for us to, as much as we can, correct our prayer and adjust it to be like his own, because he is reported sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam to say, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." You people should pray the way you see me praying. Na'am, we'll continue from the book, inshallah. Ma'alan says, "Wa fadailuha." And the virtuous aspect of As-Salah, first of all, رَفْعُ الْيَدَيْنِ عِنْدَ الْإِحْرَامِ, raising your hands while doing تَكْبِيرَةُ الْإِحْرَامِ. You raise your hands while doing تَكْبِيرَةُ الْإِحْرَامِ حَتَّى تُقَابِلَ الْأُذْنَيْنِ, until they get towards your ear or they touch your ear. So raising that hand is counted as a fadail aspect, and that is called رَفْعُ الْيَدَيْنِ. So, how is it done? Are you to raise your hand before you say Allahu Akbar, or you raise your hand while saying Allahu Akbar, or you raise your hand after saying Allahu Akbar? Any of the three is correct, inshallah. Now, the second thing, Malan says, وَقَوْلُ الْمَأْمُومُ. Oh, brother, before we go to the second issue, I also want us to realize that this رَفْعُ الْيَدَيْنِ is mentioned only once here during the Ihram. However, it is also sunnah or fadail for someone to raise his hands towards his ear while going to ruku'u, while returning for ruku'u, and while standing up for the third raka'ah, that is after the tahiyya for a prayer who has such. The reason behind this is because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated by Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, sahih hadith, in which he says that I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying, and he raised his hands up at three different locations and four different times. And he says, while he starts the prayer, while going to ruku'u, while returning from ruku'u, and lastly, while standing up for the third rak'ah. So, inshallah, it becomes a sunnah for us to also imbibe this as well, inshallah. Then next, Ma'alan now says, وَقَوْلِ الْمَأْمُومِ وَالْفَذِّ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. And for the person who is being led in a prayer, or the person who is praying alone, for him to say, Rabbana walakal hamd. You know, Sami'a Allahu liman hamd came for what? Under the sunnah aspect. So now for you to now reply that by saying, Rabbana walakal hamd, is now what? Is now a faba'il. And it's to be done by who? By the people who are following an imam, or the people who, or a person who is praying alone, inshallah. And the right statement for that is Rabbana walakal hamd, or Rabbana lakal hamd, or Allahumma Rabbana walakal hamd, or Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd. So all these four are narrated, but the strongest ones are two, which is Rabbana walakal hamd, or Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd. And Allah knows best. Then what ta'minu ba'd al-fatihati lil-fadhi wal-ma'mumin. And also saying Ameen after reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, that is who? For the person who is praying alone, Al-Fazi, or the person who is following an imam, for him to say Ameen after the recitation of Fatiha is also part of the fadail aspects. And then Malam now added, now says Wala yaqulu hal imamu illa fi qira'ati sirri. But an imam does not have to say it unless it is a prayer that he recites secretly. So Ahmad, this is one of the views of Maliki teachings, there is a Sahih hadith that reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was heard saying Ameen. The hadith is narrated even by Ibn Abbas, may Allah have mercy on them, in where he said that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying Ameen after the salat. And also our Sheikh Ibrahim Inyas radiallahu anhu, on his visit to Nigeria, this was part of the corrections he made in our salah. The earlier issue that I just mentioned, which is the issue of raising your hands towards your ears while going to ruku, rising from it, Sheikh Ibrahim Inyas also corrected that too in salah, and he showed us that yes, there is a hadith that stands for it. Next, again, he also showed us that there is a hadith that stands for the imam to say Ameen as well. So this is part of the contributions of Sheikh Ibrahim Niyas radiallahu to the nation at large, the Muslims at large. Everybody enjoy from this today, alhamdulillah. The statement is very clear, inshallah. So even the imam too can say Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Astaghfirullah can say what? Ameen at al-Fatiha al-Fatiha. Then the fourth thing here is what? What tasbihu fi ruku'i, doing at-tasbih in the ruku and also in the sujood. A tasbih in the ruku is Subhana Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamdihi. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamdihi. So you can say this an odd number of times. You can pick any number of times, but you don't want to stay in the ruku for too long a time. However, you can repeat it for an odd number of times, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept that from us. While in the sujood, someone will say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdihi. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdihi. So then the next thing Malan says, which is the fifth thing, Malan says what du'a'u fi sujood, making the du'a while in the position of a sujood. This is also very, very encouraged. However, you should know that if you can, you know, speak in Arabic, then you are required to use Arabic in making that dua, inshallah. Then watatwilu al-qira'ati fi subhi wa dhuhri, which is the sixth one now. Malam says that you should elongate your recitation during salat al-subhi and salat al-zuhur. Recite longer surahs in salat al-subhi. Recite a longer surah in salat al-zuhri. Then wataqsiruha fil asri, then you reduce your recitation in asr. Reduce your recitation in asr, make it short. Don't over elongate it. Just make your prayer, asr prayer, to be short. Wal maghrib, and also making maghrib to be short. This also counts as what? As a fadail. Then watawasutuha fil isha, and then making it moderate, not too long and not too short in salatul isha. It also counts as what? As a fadail aspect of a salah. Then Malan said watakunu suratul awwali qabla thaniyati, and that the Quran in your recitation, your Quran should be what? Arranged according to the arrangement. what is the arrangement of the Quran from Al-Fatiha down to what? Surah An-Nas. Fatiha is the first surah in the Holy Quran, while Surah An-Nas is the last surah. So how you are going to make that is that when you are going to be reciting, you give your possible best to ensure that you recite the surah that comes first before the next surah in the next raka'ah. In the first raka'ah, for instance, if you stand up and recite Alam Tara Kayfa in the first raka'ah, in the second raka'ah, then you should come down to maybe Li'ilafi, or you come down to Ara'aita and the rest of that. But if you recite, it's not good for you to recite a lower surah then move upward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in understanding. Then Ma'alanan says, wa atwala minha, and it should likewise be longer. The first raka'ah should be longer. The recitation in the first raka'ah should be longer than the recitation in the second raka'ah. You elongate your first raka'ah and continue reciting for a longer period of time. Then when you stand up for the second raka'ah, you elongate it too, but not you make the second raka'ah to be shorter than the first one. It's also part of the fadha in the aspect of as-salat. Then wal hay'atul ma'luma fi ar-ruku'i was-sujudi, and then assuming the known form in ruku', performing your ruku' in the known form, and then performing your sujood in the known form, and performing your julus, which is the sitting down, in the known form. What is the known form for ar-ruku'? The known form for ar-ruku' is that you should make your back to be flat, not like a table, but simply that you should not over bend down, or you should not over stand, be half standing. You should do your ruku', full ruku', complete ruku', not over bending and not half standing. So that is it. And your sujood as well, you do sujood on your forehead, that is compulsory. On the remaining six bones, that is sunnah, plus your cartilage. So you do your sujood on your forehead, your nose, your two palms, your knees, and the tip of your two toes, or the tip of your toes. So this is what you should do, and this is how you do your sujood, and you try as much as possible to make sure your body are not touching each other for a male. But for a female, making your sujood, you put your body together. But the male should give space between his body and his thighs, give space between his hand and his body, and so on. But the female should keep her modesty by staying tight. Now, so, and then for the julus, sitting down upon your left leg while erecting the right leg is narrated from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You sit on your left leg while you stand your right leg up. It's narrated from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Standing, but so it's also narrated, but the hadith is weak. Then sitting down on both legs too is also permissible, but the best one is the first one. And then also there is where you move your two legs towards your right hand side and sit. Your two legs will be moved towards your right and then you sit. So this one is also permissible, but moving your two legs towards your left and then sit is not permissible in salat. Allahu a'lam. So then Ma'alam Nan says, Wal Qunutu Sirron, and then reciting Al Qunut secretly. What is Al Qunut? Al Qunut is the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam was authentically narrated to have been reciting, especially in Salat al Subhi. In Salat al Subhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite Al Qunut. That is what? After he had finished the Salah, in the second raka'ah, after he has finished reciting Fatiha and then the surah he wants to recite is done, then he will now keep quiet for a while, reciting what? Reciting Al-Qunut. The statement for Al-Qunut comes in various forms. One of the known forms is Allahumma inna nasta'inuka wa nasta'ghafiruka wa nu'minu bika wa natawakkalu alayka wa nuthni alayka al-khayra kullah nashkuruka wa la nakfuruka wa nakhla'u laka wa nakhla'u wa natulku man yakfuruk اللهم إياك نعبد ولك نصلي ونسجد وإليك نسعى ونحفظ نرجو رحمتك ونخاف عذابك الجد إن عذابك بالكافرين ملحق. So when you recite this once, then you go for your ruku'. So that is what is called al-qunut. It is also part of the fadail athat of as-salah under Malikiyah, even though there are other mazhab that take it to be compulsory. Then Ma'alan now says وَيَجُوزُ بَعْدَ الرُّكُوعِ, and it is also permissible to recite this al-qunut after the ruku'. if in case you forgot, you went to ruku. So when you rise up, it is permissible to recite the kunut before you proceed for your sujood. Then what du'a'i ba'da tashahhudi, and then making a du'a after your tashahhud, that is bitihya ashadu an la ilaha illallah. Then you can now make salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then you can now do what? You can now start making du'a. One of the known du'a that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to recite is Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adab jahannam wa min adab al-qabri wa a'udhu bika min fitnat al-mahya wa mamat wa a'udhu bika min fitnat al-masih al-dajjal. He used to make du'a that, Ya Allah, safeguard me. I seek refuge with you against all the punishments of the grave and the punishments of the hereafter or the Jahannam. I seek refuge with you, Ya Allah, against the fitna, the trials of life and the trials of death. And I seek refuge with you, Ya Allah, against the trials of the grave. And I seek refuge with you against the trials of Masihi Dajjal, which is the false Messiah. So you can also add other du'a you have, inshallah. And this period is a period for acceptance of as-salah, inshallah, before you make your taslim. So, in anything, ad-du'a kena, this acceptance of ad-du'a, your supplications, prayers, before you make your taslim. Naam, wa yakunu tashahhudu thani. Malan says, and that the second tashahhud should be what? Atwala, should be longer than the first one. Min al-awwali. The second tashahhud should be longer than the first one. What tayamunu bis salami, and then also doing your salam to the right hand side first before doing it to the left hand side, and then atahriku sababa, that is shaking your index finger. Sababa is your index finger, so shaking it while doing the tahiyya is counted as what? Is counted as part of the fadail aspect of as salah. Naam. So with this now, Malan has come to the end of the what? Of the fadail aspect. He's now going to mention some of the makruh aspect to us. Malan says, wa yukrahu al-iltifat, and it is disliked for someone to be turning iltifat, turning up and down, turn your face left, turn your face right, looking at everything, whatever is happening, whatever is going on in the area, you are very much aware of it. You are paying attention to everything. So this is called al-iltifat fi salah. And an iltifat is what? Makruh. It is disliked for someone to be doing that in the salah. وَتَغْمِيدُنَّ الْعَيْنَيْنِ. And then also the second thing which is makruh that Malam is mentioning is what? Is closing your eyes. Closing your two eyes during the course of salah in the for the sake of achieving concentration. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had already, you know, prohibited people from closing their eyes during the salah. You should open your eye and try as much as possible to eliminate all forms of distraction around you, so that by the time you stand to pray, your mind, or your eyes rather, would not be able to pick up something that can distract you. And you too, you should put your eyes directly upon your point of sujood throughout your entire prayer and pay attention to your salah. Then Ma'alan now says what? وَتَعَوُّذُ فِي الْفَرِيضَةِ وَبَسْمَلَةُ وَتَعَوُّذُ فِي الْفَرِيضَةِ. And then saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajim in a compulsory prayer. Saying it out loudly for people to hear you. Ma'alan says here it is what makruh. However, at this point, it is good for us to bring in explanations with regards to this, because you discover that this issue has been an issue of debate. You know, even amidst the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, some companions are of the view that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not use to recite Bismillah before he starts Fatiha. Some companions are of the view that he used to. Some of the companions that view that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to is Hibrul Ummah, Abdullah ibn Abbas, the one that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for, that Ya Allah give him the understanding of the Deen and the interpretation of the Quran. He is of the view that saying Bismillah fi salam is in the Sharia, so the Prophet used to do. Also, you have Babul Ilmi. Now, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ma'ana Ali ibn Abi Talib, he also was of that same view. Also, you have Sayyidatuna Umm Salma, which is one of the intelligent mothers of the believers. She too, she is of the view that saying Bismillah in the Salah is in the Sharia. You have Abdullah ibn Umar, who is also a very, very great Sahaba and a wonderful narrator of the Hadith. He is also of the same view. We have Abu Huraira, who is one of the closest, you know, associates with the Prophet ﷺ in terms of especially memorizing and transmission of Hadith. He is also reviewed that same Bismillah in Salah. You also have Jabir. You also have Anas bin Malik and the rest of them. All of these companions are of the view that saying Bismillah in a Salah is part of the Sharia. So we now come to the understanding, and even for the Mazhab of Imam al-Malik, many scholars within al-Maliki see it that it is compulsory for someone to say Bismillah. Many scholars, and even beyond Maliki, we have Ibn Maslama, we have Nafi, who is one of the teachers of Imam Malik himself. You know, he's seen that it is even compulsory for someone to say Bismillah in a Salah. So you have people like Imam Shafi'i, you have people like Abdullah ibn Na'im, Abu Na'im. You know, all of these people, they think like it is compulsory. We have people like Sheikh Ahmad al-Tijani, Abu al-Abbas, who is the most knowledgeable person in his time. Everybody who had knowledge then would never argue with him in terms of knowledge, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him that. And we also have people like Sheikh Ibrahim al-Yas, whom in his entire time, there was no single one person that can stand up to him in terms of knowledge. Not even one person. So Amma, you see, this is their own view. So we also have to, you know, think about that. Sheikh Ibrahim al-Yasudal Anhu explained this issue very much in his book that he wrote, Raf'ul Malam, Amman Rafa'a Waqbida Iqtida'an Bi Sayyidil Anah. In that book, Sheikh Ibrahim al-Yasudal Anhu explained this in details. He brought everybody who agree with Bismillah and brought everybody who said Bismillah in short is not part of the Salah. And then at the end, he adopted the method of Imam Malik himself. Imam Malik says, whoever thinks Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is part of Al-Fatiha, then that person must recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim while in Fatiha. But if you think Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is not a part of Surah Al-Fatiha, then you don't have to recite it out loud. So now, coming back to that particular ruling, is Bismillah part of Al-Fatiha? Pick up your Quran. I'm sure most of us have the riwayah of the Quran, which is Hafs and Asim. If you pick it up, I'm very sure everybody will see Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim 1, verse 1. So Hafs and Asim, in the recitation of Shatibiyya, you know, counts Bismillah as the first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha. Riwayat al-Qalun and Ibn Kathir counts Bismillah as the first verse. Riwayat al-Warsh and Nafi' count Bismillah as the first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha. Ruwayat to Duri and Kisai counts Bismillah as the first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha. Amma, some people, or some scholars rather, say that Bismillah is not part of Surah Al-Fatiha, and what their proof is the same of the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fatiha is divided between me and my servant. When my servants say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, I will respond to him saying, Allah, you know, will respond to him saying what? My servant has praised me. So these scholars now take this hadith and then they say, okay, if Bismillah was part of Al-Fatiha, then it would have started with Bismillah Rahman Rahim. But no, Allah started by saying, when my servants say Alhamdulillah. So Amma, this is also not a view that or commoner like me can say is not correct. Like we said, it has to do with perceptions and understanding. It's better to always follow a scholar whenever you are doing anything, so that you can hide under his umbrella. Don't always seek to understand everything in depth. Try as much as possible to hold on to someone, so that whatever you do it based on knowledge. So this statement is okay. But moving on, you find that no scholar is arguing that Surah Al-Fatiha has 7 verses. Everybody agrees that Al-Fatiha has 7 verses. So, how do you count the 7 verses? Some people count Ihdina Surat Al-Mustaqim as the 3rd. Some count it as the 5th. As the 4th, rather. Some count it as the 5th. So, those that count it as the 5th are the ones who fall under the path of saying that it is not part of Bismillah, of Fatiha. But those that count it as the fifth are the ones who say it is part of our Fatiha, and otherwise come and say other things. So on, inshallah. Then we'll continue, inshallah. So I'm encouraging all of us, inshallah, to follow the view of our shuyu, which is that you should recite what? Bismillah in Salat al-Fatiha, in your Salat. Recite it out loud. Then, Ma'alana says, وَيَجُزَانِ فِي النَّافِلِ. However, it is permissible to recite them in what? In Salat al-Nafila. So Ma'alana says, وَالْوُقُوفُ عَلَى رَجْلٍ وَاحِدَةٍ إِلَّا أَنْ يَطُولَ قِيَامُهُ. And someone should stand upon one leg while in Salat, it is also makruh, except if his standing becomes elongated, you stand for too long. Then Malan said, وَقْتِرَانُ رِجِلَيْهِ, or then his legs become maybe sore or tired, then he can continue to rest upon one leg, then move to the other leg. Then Malan says, وَجَعَلُ دِرْهَمٍ, and placing dirham, a coin of money, inside your mouth, أَوْغَيْرِهِ, or anything like that, placing it inside your mouth, makruh. وَكَذَلِكَ كُلُّ مَا يُشَوِّشُهُ, as well as every other thing that can distract him, placing it in his mouth, or placing it in his pocket, or placing it in his sleeves, كُمِّهِ كَنَا, أَوْ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ, أَوْ عَلَى ظَهْرِهِ, or placing it on his back, وَتَفَكُّرِ, or thinking, فِي أُمُورِ الدُّنْيَا, about issues, worldly issues, وَكُلُّ مَا يَشْغُلْهُ, or any other thing that can carry away his attention, عَنِ الْخُشُوعِ, anything that can seize his mind away from concentrating in the salah is also prohibited for the person to do. So inshallah, we are going to stop here and we'll continue from the next fasal when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits us to meet. Sallallahu wa sallam ala ashrafil anbiya al-musaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhana rabbika rabbil iddati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-musaleen wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.